Grace to you and peace in the name of our newborn Savior, Jesus the Christ of God. Amen. I'd like to read the gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, just verses 17 through 20. It tells about after the shepherds had come to see the Christ child. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. And this will serve as our text this morning. I think I said it when I first came in, but I'd like to start off by saying once again, Merry Christmas to all of you. It's great to see you this morning. I saw many of you last night also. I hope and trust that you had a wonderful celebration with your family and friends, and I hope that if you did have a wish list, that many of your wishes were granted. For those of you who were here last night, I would say, wasn't that a beautiful service last night? I know each year I look so forward, I think many people do that, Christmas Eve service, because of the ambiance, I guess, that's created by it. There's such a feeling of peace and a tranquility of spirit as we sing the carols, we light the candles, and then lights all go off, and we've got just our candles there. And we once again hear that whole story of Luke chapter 2, the story of the birth of our Savior. And then you add to that the gathering of families, the fellowship of many folks that we haven't seen for a while many times, and then the anticipation of the fun and the festivities to follow when we get home, and you have the recipe for probably for many folks one of the best nights of the year. As you probably well know, and as you do at your own home and such, a lot of time and a lot of energy and also a lot of money, usually, goes into the planning and the execution of the Christmas experience, both at home and also here at church. And we do it willingly and happily because we so love Christmas. But oftentimes, we invest so much of ourselves into the getting ready for Christmas and that celebration of Christmas that it's often a little bit of a letdown when it's all said and done. Now, I remember feeling this way kind of when I first got married also. Now, no offense to my wife or anything. Let me explain. I had spent so much time and energy and money thinking about and praying about and planning for that one event of our wedding that after it was all said and done and complete, I found myself now saying, oh, now what? Now what do I do? What do I look forward to? What do I plan for? My guess is that it's a question that many of us have probably experienced at one or more Christmas mornings in our lives, maybe even some of you today. And I'm pretty sure that almost all of us wrestled with that question probably when we were children. Now that all the presents have been opened, the parties have been completed, the relatives have departed, or they soon will. Now what? What do we do? What do we look forward to? What do we plan for next? I think perhaps we can best answer these questions by looking to see what the shepherds did after they had gone and seen the newborn Savior lying there in that lowly manger. Because unlike us, who generally spend maybe a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months, anticipating and planning and getting ready for Christmas, these shepherds had waited for this event, this moment, their entire lives. More than that, they were the descendants of a people who had waited for and hoped for this day for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. And now that it had finally come, and they had seen it with their own eyes, and they had heard the angels' proclamation and the news and the songs with their own ears as news of the Savior's birth. Now what were they supposed to do? Well, I'm not sure what they were supposed to do, but I can tell you what they did do. The Bible stated it very clearly in verse 17 of Luke 2. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They went out and told others. And the angels shared this good news with them, so they now went and shared this good news with others. And they did one more thing also. Verse 20 of Luke 2 tells us that they returned, presumably to the fields where they had been watching the sheep, and then it says, they went back glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen concerning what had been told them about Jesus. So, back to our question, now what? Well, now we begin to live out the Christmas event. Now we begin to let it affect and shape and inspire and direct our lives. Now we do like the shepherds did. We tell others about Jesus, and we glorify and we praise God. All sounds very pious and holy, doesn't it? But it doesn't really answer the question of now what. At least not for us. Because the truth be told, we should have been doing all that before Christmas also. In fact, in many ways, it doesn't even seem like the now what question really applies to us, at least spiritually speaking. Because for us, nothing new has happened. We celebrated the same event last year. And we did the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. Unlike the shepherds who actually heard news that was actually new to them, we have heard and celebrated this event every year of our lives. And so to walk away from this Christmas visibly changed and motivated to action like the shepherds just doesn't really make sense for us. And therein lay the problem. The Christmas miracle has become so common in our lives that it has lost much of its significance. We tell and we retell the story to set the stage for our programs and to set the stage for our worship and such. But to a large degree, I fear that it has become, to many of us, just a nostalgic story. We like to hear it again because it reminds us of being a child. And it reawakens in us a little bit of that Christmas magic that we used to experience when we were kids, if only for a few moments. But beyond that, few of us walk away each year from the Christmas celebration any different than we walked into the Christmas celebration. Though perhaps a little heavier on the scale, and a little bit lighter in the pocketbook. And that's too bad. Because the story, though familiar, is still spectacular. And the news, though old, is still good. And Jesus, though no longer a baby, is still our Savior. You see, born in that simple stable so many years ago, was not just a Son of God, but a sacrifice. And not just a king, but a servant. He was born to die, to give himself as the sacrifice for our sin. If ever we look into that manger and we don't also see the cross, then we have missed the message of Christmas. The birth of Jesus has no significance for us if it is not also accompanied by the death and resurrection. Because it's there, at the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that he becomes our Savior. And there that our sins are forgiven. And it's there that the Christmas event becomes an event of good news that is of great joy. If you don't have the desire and the will and the interest to spread the word concerning Jesus, as the shepherds did, and if your heart isn't filled with that longing to glorify and to praise God, then perhaps somehow you have lost sight of the true meaning of Christmas. It's not just about the birth of God's Son. It's about the birth of a sacrifice. Your life has been spared, and your future has been secured, because that little baby born at Christmas died for you. How can that story ever get old? We live because Jesus died and rose again. May we never consider the miracle of Christmas old news. And may we thus never ask, now what? But may we respond as our heart and as that news inspires us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.